Amen for leading us in prayer, and thank you for praying along with us. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and open up to the book of Deuteronomy, and as you do, stand to your feet, and we're going to read some scripture, but before we do, I want to have a prayer. I thought about, as I sit and I listen to many of you stand and give you requests, there's just hurt. Maybe it's your health for some of you. For some of you, it's your marriage. For some of you, it's your children or your grandchildren. For some of you, it's a spiritual need. I don't know what's going on in folks' lives. I know what's going on in mine sometimes. I know who can take care of every one of our situations, though. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me that God would increase our faith. As I've been studying through the book of Deuteronomy again, it's just a theme that keeps coming up. You know, that first generation, they just didn't have faith. They walked by sight. God had done so much for them. Brethren, the folks in here tonight, you'd be among the first to admit God has done so much for you. I don't have to tell you that. You already know that. Well, God had done so much for them. He brought them out of Egypt. He met their every need. And yet, when it came time for them to go over into the promised land, they felt like they had to help God out. It's kind of like this. We trust God to get us out of Egypt, but we can't trust him to get us into Canaan. And before we're too hard on them, we have to ask ourselves some similar questions, don't we? Don't we? That's why over and over again, you'll find in the book of Deuteronomy, God is saying, remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord brought you out. He is simply saying, remember what I've already done and use that as a building block to increase your faith of what I can do in your life. And so I'm going to ask you to do that with me tonight. I thought of a couple of verses of scripture that I'd like to share with you, and hopefully you'll go home and read them. One of them is very familiar. One of them is not as familiar. Isaiah 26:3. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, for he trusteth in thee. And then Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. That's difficult sometimes, brethren. It's not as hard to memorize as it is to carry out. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Don't send 12 spies. God said the land's ready, go get it. God said, I've mapped it out. I know what's over there. Go get it. It's yours. I've given it to you. And there's just some things that God has given us. And I pray that God would help us to claim our inheritance, claim what is rightfully ours. Now, I don't know what God's answer in your situation is, but I know this. God wants to work in it, and he will. So may God increase our faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him. That's another difficult thing. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Would you pray with me? I'm going to ask God to help me. And would you ask God, help me to just give me more faith. God, would you increase my faith? I know getting in the Word is going to increase it. But you know, sometimes just looking back and seeing what God has done encourages us to know what God can do moving forward. And so let's ask God to bring some of those things to our remembrance. We'll have a brief word of prayer, and then I'll read some scripture, and we'll sit. And I've got some thoughts I'd like to share with you tonight, okay? Let's pray together. Father, you know my heart. You know all of our hearts. We don't know our hearts, but God, you know our hearts. We're a weak people. We're a needy people. We don't realize it sometimes, but we are all the time. We just need you, Lord. And God, I'm going to ask you to increase my faith. I don't want to have weak faith. God, would you help us to have strong faith? The kind of faith that would give you glory and that would magnify your name and that would please you, because without faith, it's impossible to please you. I pray that you would increase my faith. Lord, as I look back over the course of my life and I just see how you've answered prayer after prayer, you've intervened time after time, You've never let me down, Lord. And I know that some of the things that are happening in our lives right now will be no different. You'll be there. You'll see us through. You'll give us wisdom and faith and strength and grace. And I just want to thank you for it. I pray for my brethren here tonight, and even those that can't be here tonight, or those that aren't here tonight because they are weak and weary. God, I pray for them. God, help us to trust you. Help us to trust you. Help us to bring our petitions before you. Help us not to forfeit this wonderful privilege that you've given us to come before the throne of your grace. And we will thank you for it. Lord, I pray particularly for that one that their heart is low here tonight. They need something from you. We all need something, but there's some here tonight that need something in particular, and they just need you in a special way. And I pray you'd be special to them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 1. And if you would open there, I'm going to read the first 8 verses to you, and then God's given me some things that I'd like to just share with you. And I started to move on, but God wouldn't let me. And so I'm going to give you what God's given me. Deuteronomy chapter 1, we'll read the first 8 verses. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazaroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Zair unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us. What a statement. You know, I'm glad God speaks to people, aren't you? I am. I have that highlighted in my Bible. I'm just glad that God speaks to man. We know it, we read about it, but I'm just glad that it happens. I'm glad God still speaks to man. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and into all the places nigh thereunto, into the plain and the hills and in the vale and in the south and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon and the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Father, bless your word to our hearts. In this hour we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn to a couple of New Testament passages of Scripture that I cited last week. We said last week that the word Deuteronomy means second law. It doesn't mean the second. There is a second law. The second law is in the restating of the law, the second time. And, of course, that's exactly what happens here in the book of Deuteronomy. We have the first giving of the law in Exodus in chapter number 20. And then we have the second of the law, the Ten Commandments, in Deuteronomy here. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would do that, and then Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Romans chapter 15. I've been thinking about this as I've studied these passages of Scripture. I've been thinking about this. Let me turn my cell phone here, Brother Jonathan. I'm sorry. I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking, what can we learn from a book that was written literally hundreds and hundreds of years ago? Well, I've already learned a lot from it. And when I say the book, I'm not meaning just the Bible, but the book of Deuteronomy. There are so many life lessons in this book. As I've mentioned to you last week, the book of Deuteronomy is very similar to the book of Acts in the New Testament. It's a bridge. It kind of is a transition book that will transition you from the law over into the people of Israel and them going to do what God enabled them to do, and that is conquer the land. So if you just kind of started with or ended at Numbers and then picked up in Joshua, you'd miss out some things because you'd wonder, where's Moses? Kind of like in the book of Acts, who's this Paul character writing all these epistles, right? The book of Acts gives us that information. So it's very needful. And of course, God knew that. That's why he canonized it. He put it in the scripture. He put it in the canon of scripture. And so we have it, and I'm glad that we do, aren't you? I'm thankful that we have the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I don't know this. I haven't done the research on this. I can say this without hesitation. Dozens and dozens of times is the book of Deuteronomy quoted from in the New Testament. Now, someone has said over 100 times. I haven't counted, so I'm not sure. But I can say this without hesitation. Dozens of times the book of Deuteronomy is quoted. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy has some wonderful truths, some historical truths, but it also has some life lessons. And I hope that as we go through and we navigate through the book, that what we'll do, instead of looking at this book saying, you know what, that book was written for a different nation or a different people or a different culture or a different people with a different mindset in a different place, that we'll realize that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. See, it's profitable to you and I. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll read through books like Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and I could cite a couple of other minor prophets, perhaps Amos or Obadiah, and say, what can we, as a Christian today who is washing the blood of Jesus, going to heaven with the canon of Scripture, the New Testament, what can we get from these books? Well, you'd be surprised what God will give you. When you really look and you take the scripture at face value and you really believe, you know what? There's something in Deuteronomy for me. And that's why God gave it. That's why God preserved it in the book. So let's start in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, or there, chapter 10, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I want you to sometime read verses 1 through 12, but not tonight. I just want to begin right here in Deuteronomy, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 6, notice what the scripture said. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and to rose up to play, and neither commit fornication. So it's going back to the time when the children of Israel were there at the Mount Sinai, and so this is recounting that history. And then as you get down into verse number 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. Learn from it. When you read this, say, you know what? This is the way God deals with sin. God hasn't changed. The way God dealt with sin in Deuteronomy, God deals with sin today. The view that God has on sin in the book of Deuteronomy is the view that God has on sin today. God hasn't changed. Amen. But you know what? There's some other things we need to understand. I'm glad that God is approachable as he is in the book of Deuteronomy. Aren't you glad for that? That when, listen, the law, the book of Deuteronomy speaks of the second law or the restating of the law. But listen, when they were at Mount Sinai, the law's not all they got. Somebody tell me what else they got. The blueprint for the tabernacle. God introduced them to grace. You see, the law can only bring you to God, but it sure can't save you and forgive your sin. But thank God grace can. And that's what the tabernacle is all about. So see, on Mount Sinai, it's not just about the Ten Commandments. Now listen, when Mount Sinai is mentioned, that's what many people, their mind just kind of stays there. Well, the Ten Commandments. Thank God for the Ten Commandments. But that's not all that God gave Moses on the Mount. God gave Moses
a blueprint of the tabernacle, which is a wonderful picture of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the word tabernacle is used in John 1:14. It's just translated dwelt. I like that word because that's where God dwelt, in the tabernacle. Amen. Yes. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. Jesus is the embodiment of God Himself. And so the tabernacle was an introduction to the grace of God through Jesus Christ and how you could draw near unto Him. The only way we can draw near unto God is through the mediator of Jesus Christ. There's just but one mediator between God and man. Amen. One, brethren. Just one. The only way that we could ever have and gain access into the presence of God is through Christ. And God said, I want to teach my people that right here. And He did. Here, notice what it says in verse number 11. All these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So you see, God says, I want to admonish you. I want to warn you, and they are written for our admonishment. I want to encourage you. But then look at the next statement. Many times this is left out. But I'm going to come back. We'll close with this statement. I'm going to mention it here, and we'll come back to it, the Lord willing. Wherefore, because of what's just been said, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Why did God put that there? There is a distinct reason. Because when you think you're strong, you're ready for a fall. I think of Moses. We may get to this today, this evening, I don't know. God told Moses, you can't go into the promised land. I'm going to let you see it. God even done more than that on the Mount of Transfiguration. I won't get into that tonight, but I mean, God is just a gracious God, brethren. I mean, any way you dissect it and look at it, God is a God of grace. He is. And God done something special for Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. He did. And I am so thankful that God did that. It just shows that God is a God of grace. So Moses was a man that was known as, actually the Bible says, the meekest man on the earth. But you know what? He lost his temper. What's your strong point? What do you think you would never do? Be careful now. It might rob you of a blessing. It might bite you. Abraham was strong in faith. Read Romans chapter 4. He's the father of the faithful. But when the famine came, he didn't exercise faith. He ran down to Egypt and lied about his wife. See, faith was his strength. But he got a little lax, didn't he? He did. David, a young man of integrity. We know what that cost him. All right? It can happen. And so the Bible makes it very clear. If you think you're strong, you need to be careful. Take heed. All right? We hear a lot about the devil attacking our weaknesses. But I'm going to tell you where you let your guard down. At your strengths. We're all apt to do it. Because we think, oh, I'd never do that. I need to watch here. Well, be careful. Be careful. Peter was a bold man. He always had something to say, didn't he? Didn't he, brethren? Until he was around a campfire and they were asking, hey, aren't you one of them? He wasn't so bold then. So just be cautious. It can happen. And if it can happen to these, it can happen to us. And so the Bible says these things are written, again in verse number 11, for our admonition. They're to admonish us. Walk carefully. Walk circumspectly. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought. Because your strength could be what takes you down. While you're guarding your weakness, the devil will attack your strength. And so God help us. All right? God help us. Turn to Romans 15 and then we'll get back to Deuteronomy and that's where we'll stay. Romans 15, there's another statement made that I find very interesting. along the same lines, it's just, I just believe that when we discount the Old Testament, well, you know, that's for a different dispensation, that's for a different people, that's for a nation, and all that stuff. Listen, that's the truths of the Bible are for all of us. Amen. Listen, I'm a dispensationalist. I'm not an ultra dispensationalist, but I am a dispensationalist, so I don't even know what that means. Well, okay. So in Romans 15, in verse number 4, the scripture says this: "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Now, brother, you can't get around that. Well, you know, I want to study in Philippians and in Ephesians and in Colossians. Well, that's great. But the book of Deuteronomy is going to help us too. Because whatsoever things, look at it again in verse number 4, were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. You see, what God has done in their lives, God will do in our lives. That's right. It is no secret what God can do. What He has done for others, He will do for you. I'm glad God's no respecter of persons, aren't you? I don't know what you need in your life. I don't. I just know that I have a God, and that you do too, if you're saved in the grace of God, they can take care of it. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. You say, well, preacher, is trusting just in spite of evidence? No, that's superstition. You trust Him in spite of consequences. You trust Him in spite of circumstances. It doesn't matter how it looks. That doesn't mean God can't take care of it. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy. I want to give you just a few life lessons. What Moses does here in chapter 1 is he reviews a little bit. And he's telling the children of Israel, he's saying, you know, I hope that as I review this with you, he's saying, I hope you'll learn some things that'll help you moving forward into the new land. That's what the book of Deuteronomy really is about. This is how I want you to act in this new land that you're going into. I've given you a land, I want you to possess it, and this is the way I want you to live. So let's look at just a few things that may not get to all of them tonight. That's a good thing about going through a book. We'll just go as far as God lets me go, and then we'll just pick up the next time. All right? Before we do, I want to ask a question. Somebody stand up and tell me what the Ten Commandments are. All of them's gone out, haven't they? Brandon's been working on, with the children. Ten Commandments. Somebody, yes. Go ahead.
I shall have no other gods before me. Now, I'm going to have to paraphrase.
That's fine. Right? That's fine.
I shall not make any graven image. I shall not take the Lord thy God's name in vain.
Amen.
For the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. I shall not kill. I shall not commit adultery. I shall not steal. I shall not bear false witness. And I shall not covet.
Amen. That's 10 of them. So the Ten Commandments don't matter. You'll never read that anywhere in the Bible. They matter so much, God gave them twice. Amen. You know the Ten Commandments? I've got one better. Do you obey them? You get over in the New Testament and God, listen, the Lord Jesus really opens it up, doesn't He? He does. It's important, brethren. You see, I think if we're not careful, what will happen is we as Christians, when we begin to take things like this so lightly, it's seen in our lives by those who look in, and they'll begin to take them lightly. I said it last week or week before last. I can't recall which, but we get angry when someone says, you know, we want the Ten Commandments taken out of the courtroom. Well, you ought to get angry about that. This is America. Amen. But now don't get angry if you don't know what they are. Don't get angry if you're not abiding by them. That's a little hypocritical, right? That's like somebody saying, I can't believe that, you know, people just leave their Bible at home on Sunday. Well, bring yours, but now read it on Monday through Saturday. Yes. And so God help us. Now let's look at this. So what's the book of Deuteronomy about? Well, it's about God giving Moses something, and then He's going to give it to the children of Israel. We said that last week, and I want to reemphasize that. Look at verse number 3. It says in the, right in the middle, Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. And he said, this is what I want you to do. He said, it's time for you to move on. Now I want to spend some time here. Look at verse number 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Now I did some math. All right? He said, I want you to turn and take your journey and go to the Mount of the Amorites. He said, it's time to move from Mount Sinai. Now, I want you to write this verse down and go home and look at it. Exodus 19:1, the Bible gives the exact month that they came to Mount Sinai. The third month of the first year. And then in Numbers chapter, you write that down, Exodus 19:1. Numbers chapter 10, verse number 11, tells when they left Mount Sinai. They stayed there right at a year, just a little under a year. They stayed at Mount Sinai. Okay? Now, they got comfortable. You know all that happened at Mount Sinai. You've read the book of Exodus, I hope. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. You know what happens here. Okay? Moses goes up on the mount, and God gives him the Ten Commandments. He gives him the blueprint. He comes down. They're just acting foolish and simple. And God, I mean, he is very displeased. And who is on the Lord's side? And God said, you know what? I'm not going up with you. You go on, I'll send an angel before you, but I'm not going. And I mean, they got serious then, okay? And that's what's happening here. So I want you to get this in your mind. When Moses is recounting this, he's saying, if you got comfortable there and you didn't want to go forward. You know, that happens in our lives. Maybe there's someone sitting here and you're comfortable where you are. You're just comfortable. It's not good to get comfortable for too long. Amen. You'll find yourself not being the Christian, and I'll find myself not being the Christian I need to be. We'll be looking for the easy way instead of the right way. Amen. And so God said this. He said, Moses, he said, I want you to tell them. Look at it now. In verse number 6, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, and he said, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. It's time to move on from Sinai. All right? It's time to get to where I sent you. I didn't send you to Sinai. I sent you to Canaan's land. Amen. I didn't bring you out of Egypt to go to Sinai. Amen. And some of us stop short, brethren. I don't want to stop short. Amen. I don't believe you want to stop short. But there's a temptation to stop short. There's a temptation to go a ways on the journey and then say, you know what, this feels good. I think I'm just going to camp here and I'm going to make this the end of my journey. God said, oh no, this is not where I promised to send you. I didn't bring you out of Egypt to go to Sinai. That's not the end. You can learn something there, learn what you can, gather what you can. Now it's time to move on. Why? Because God said, I gave you a commandment. I gave you a commandment to go to Canaan. But I like this. I like what God did. God is always gracious. Look, if you would, following that, he said, now this is what I want you to do. And he told him, I want you to go in verse number 7. Look at verse number 8. God gave him a commandment, but he also gave him an encouragement. Aren't you glad God does that in your life? See, God doesn't whip us all the time, brethren. You know, some people act like God is always whipping us. God doesn't whip us all the time. Now, God will command you. God, listen, God has every right to command me. Can I just say, God owns me. Well, if you're saved in the grace of God, God owns you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. God has every right to tell me what to do. God has every right to command me. That's right. As a matter of fact, now that I'm getting used to God commanding me, I wouldn't have it any other way. This old flesh struggles against it. But brethren, I've been doing this long enough to know I don't want to be in charge. Every now and then, the old flesh will rear up and say, take charge, right? No. I want God to be in charge. And I know you do too. Look at verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. It's yours. What an encouragement. I've given you something. And it's not Mount Sinai. I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. I mean, what an inheritance. He said, that's your land. I'm giving it to you. Now you take your journey. And that's what he said here. Look at verse number 7. Turn you and take your journey. You know, the journey, it just has a lot of setbacks. But God's going to be with us through each one of them. I want to just mention some of the setbacks that Moses mentions, and that's where we'll end tonight. The rest of chapter 1 is Moses mentioning some setbacks. Brethren, in our journey, we have setbacks. We just do. I'm glad that we learn a little bit about the law of God, and see, the law of God brings us to God. The law of God shows me God as He is and I as I am, and it makes me understand I need God. Amen. And then there was the tabernacle. You know what the tabernacle did? Listen, that's what happened here. They built the tabernacle. You know what the tabernacle did? The tabernacle showed man how to worship God. I'm glad that God is teaching me how to worship Him. Amen. Not out of fear. Not because I heard the thundering voice of Sinai. Listen, there is a reverence and a fear because of that. But I worship God out of love. I love Him. I'm glad God has made a way for me to approach Him. Now, people say, well, I'm going to worship God my way. You'll never find that in the Bible. Somebody say amen with me now. Well, we're just going to, down here, we worship God our own way. Oh, no, not the God of heaven you don't. Because God has a specific way. He's going to ask you to worship Him, or you're not going to be worshiping Him. It's going to be in spirit and truth, or it's not going to be at all. And listen, when they were bringing sacrifices and offerings, if they didn't do it the way that Moses laid out for them to do it, God didn't accept it. And so don't get in your mind now, well, I'll just worship God the way I want to worship God. No, we're going to worship God according to His Word, what His Word teaches. That's right. And so we find here that there's some, well, there's just some setbacks and there's some difficulty. Let's look at a few of them. Moses said in verse number 9 of chapter 1, he said, you know, this thing of leading a lot of people, this thing of being in leadership, and I want to say something to those of you who are in leadership positions. I thank God for the leadership of Fellowship Baptist Church. You say, well, preacher, I don't do a whole lot. Well, if you're involved in ministry, I thank God for you. I've said it before. Listen, I'm going to say it again. There is absolutely no small jobs in God's work. How are you going to do something small for a God as big as we have? There's no way. Serve God with your life. There's nothing greater you can do. Notice what Moses said here. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. He said, I spake unto you at that time, saying, I'm not able to bear you myself alone. Now, this here's a man of God that's ministering to a lot of people. Some people think about a million and a half, could have been a little over that, because he says how God increased them right here. He talked about how God increased them. And Moses said, it's tiresome. When you do the work of God, it's wearisome. It'll fray on you. And so he said in verse number 11, he said, the Lord God of your fathers made you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance? You know, it's a good day in a man's life when he realizes God never intended for you to do it all on your own. Somebody say amen right there. That's why God builds people around you, puts people in the pathway of your life. By the way, this works at home, this works in the business place, this works in the church, and it works up in Washington. Yeah. It's called structure. Amen. It's called organization, so that you can minister to people, so that you can carry out duties. It's a chain of command that God has given. Actually, Jethro gave this counsel to Moses back in Exodus, I think it's chapter 18. And Moses was a wise man to take it. It really helped him. As a matter of fact, I want you to write this verse down. Moses got so discouraged in Numbers chapter 11, in verse number 15, write it down. He said, God, if this is the way it's going to be, kill me. I can't bear up under this. I can't take it. Hey, leadership is something now. That's why you need to pray for your leaders. That's why as you're leading, you need to get other people involved. Don't be ashamed to ask people to help you out. That's right. That's why if you're not leading, you need to help someone who is. Amen. Everybody needs to be doing something for Jesus. Amen. Notice what he said here in verse number 12. He said, how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance, which means problems, burdens? There's no way one man. Listen, there's just no way. And he said this, he said, your burden and your strife, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you, leaders. Churches need leaders. Amen. I used to think that you know, a man that could lead followers was all that. But God's taught me different now. A leader ought to be a leader of leaders and followers. You ought to be mentoring. We ought to be building and mentoring and enlisting leaders for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. You ought to be joining up. What can I do to serve my Lord? Isn't that right, brethren? I know who I'm talking to tonight. It's a Wednesday night crowd. I understand. Preaching to the choir. But sometimes we just need to be reminded. That's what this is. It's just a review. It's a review. And Moses said, you remember how it was. He said, I couldn't do it all. You know, sometimes you might think you can do it all. There's been times I thought I could do it all. Glad day of my life when I realized I can't do it all. A better day of my life when I realized God doesn't expect me to do it all. That's right. Now, leadership's important. And Moses is laying that out right here, and he's saying, folks, leadership is important. You ought to support your leadership. If you can't, go somewhere where you can. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying, listen, that doesn't mean you have to dot every I and cross every T like the person that your leader, but it does mean you ought to support him. You ought to pray for him. You ought to pray for your Sunday school director, Brother Greg. Amen. You ought to pray for your missions director, Brother David. You ought to pray for people that are in leadership positions, and you ought to get in behind them and support them and say, listen, we want to serve God. How can we help you serve God? What can we do to help you? We want to be that captain. Notice what he said here in verse number 14. And ye answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken to us, or is good for us to do, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, verse 15, and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. We set some leadership in place so that there could be some organization and some training, you see. Brethren, that's missing in our local churches. And I thank God that there's people here who want to serve and who want to be a part of leadership and who want to get involved and do something for Jesus. It's not all about me. But before you say amen too loud, it's not all about you either. This is about Jesus. This is about the kingdom. This is about doing God's will, and all of us can be a part of that. You say, well, preacher, I don't know a whole lot. Well, you know, you don't have to be an intellectual to serve God. There's nothing wrong with education, but you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. Just serve God with the ability that God's given you. What gift is God giving you? Can I ask you that? Say, I don't know. Well, ask Him. God, what spiritual gifts have you given me? By the way, I'm just going to say this now. Listen, the body life in the church is slipping. Brother, can I tell you, God is for local church. Amen. Local church. Amen. Amen. Serve God in your local church. Amen. And many of you do. I thank God for it. I just see this slipping in our day where the local church, it seems like the emphasis on the local church and leadership in the local church and service in the local church and using our gifts and abilities in the local church, it seems to be diminishing. God, help us. Amen. And I pray that God would help you and I be strong in that area and stay strong there. Stay strong there. Now, Moses didn't just appoint them. This is something I want to show you, and I'm going to move on to one more point, and I'll be done for tonight. But I want you to get this, okay? It's not just something to wear a pin. And you ushers are saying, well, we're the only ones who wear pins. Well, okay, I'm not talking about ushers, okay? Don't get, you know, everybody's looking for who's got a pin on right now. Yeah, he's talking to you now. No. It's not just something to have a title. Let me rephrase that, okay? It's not just something to have a title. Well, I'm a pastor, or I'm a deacon, or I'm this, or I'm that, I'm a teacher. A title, it's more than a title. Notice what Moses does here when he charged them. What a charge. You ever read this? This is one of the greatest charges in all the Bible, and it's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's a great charge. Moses said, listen, I want you men to be leaders. He said, but now with leadership comes accountability and responsibility. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me, because there's something that really just doesn't fly with me. Don't think you're going to be a leader and not be accountable and responsible. Not under my leadership. You want to be a leader? Be responsible. Be accountable. Amen. We're doing this for God, brethren. We may not be all that, but we are what we are by the grace of God, and we're going to do the very best we can for the cause of Christ. Say amen with me now. I know it's getting kind of late. Actually, it's just 8:20. Amen. But it's kind of late for, yeah. Look at verse 16 through 18. Here's the charge. And I charged your judges, he said. Look at it now. I charged you. I charged you. I didn't just give you a title. I held you accountable. I told you what was expected of you. I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren and judge righteously between every man and his brother. Don't take your responsibility haphazardly. Don't play favorites. Right? Amen. That's what he's saying. Judge righteously between a man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Look at verse number 17. And you shall not respect persons in judgment. You can't do that and be a good leader. You can't. You can't play favorites. You can't go by skin color. Help me out now. You can't go by culture. You can't go by a person who enjoys doing what you enjoy doing. You do what's right, and God will honor it. You can stand on this book, brethren. When you judge righteously, when you say, listen, I'm going to let the gavel of God fall where it falls, and I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Scripture, and you do what God said do, you'll never go wrong. Now, some will like it and some won't. But God will be pleased. And as long as God's pleased, brethren, things are good. And so Moses said, that's what I'm looking at here. He said, don't you be a respecter of persons in judgment. Verse 17, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. I like that. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment of the judgment is God's. And that's just what I just emphasized. You're doing this for God, and you're doing it by God's word. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. You say, well, I don't know what to do in this situation, so I'm just going to kind of, you know, eeny, meeny, miny. No. No, you take it up. You take it to the next man. And say, listen, we got a little situation here. I'm in an impasse. And I rightly don't know what to do. I'm needing some wisdom on this and some counsel. Because we want to make sure we get it right. Amen? There's a lot at stake, brethren. There's a lot at stake. And so he said, don't be afraid of the man's face, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Finally, verse 18, and I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. You know, one of the things I'm asking God to help me with, and this will be, and I'm just going to point out a couple of things, and I'll be done. I used to work at a place, and honest to goodness, nothing has tried my faith and patience like this place I used to work for, which I won't call because we're on live stream. It was the most unorganized. I can't even put it into words now. I'm just having, you go to work and they, you know, it's almost like people look at, what are we doing today? What do you mean, what are we doing today? You know, it's just people making last minute plans. You know, what are we going to do? And this and that. And then you roll up on a job and people jump out, and the first thing you want to do is text somebody or smoke a cigarette. Listen, I don't work that way. Okay? That's not the way you work. And I had a pile of people mad at me, okay? I mean a pile of them. Because that's not the way it's done. All right? I don't like to get somewhere and not know what is expected of me. Tell me what's expected of me. And I'd rather you have very high expectations of me and me not be able to reach them than very low expectations of me and me grow comfortable and lazy. Say amen with me. But brethren, we live in that society, but we're not going to let it creep in here at Fellowship Baptist Church by the grace of God. We want to keep the standard high. Yeah, and I'm asking God, God forgive me now. You can slip, and I've slipped a little bit. I want to keep the standard high. I'm looking at things right now, and I'm asking men. I'm getting men together. I said, listen, we need to do this and this and this. We want to get some things done. Because this is God's work, and God's going to hold us accountable, and we want to do it right. And if you're a leader of something, and God blesses you to put you in that position, take it serious and do it the right way. God will honor that. Okay? I'm glad for that negative experience, by the way. I said that to say I am. I'm glad for it because it just helped me to see some things in my own life. This is not what you're looking for right here. You don't ever want to get a group of people together and just look around and say, what are we doing? You know, who wants to do this? No. Start delegating. You're a leader. Delegate. Right? Have a plan. If you don't, the wrong person will. I can tell you that. Right? Kind of like at home, Daddy. Listen to me. If you don't have a plan, somebody in that house will. But God's giving you. You're the man with the plan. Right? Carry it out. All right. Final thing I want to show you, and I'm just going to point this out, and we'll pick up here next week. The thing I notice when I'm going through chapter number 1, 2, and 3 is this keeps coming up. God keeps telling them what I want you to do. This is what I want. Look, if you would, in verse number 3 of chapter 1. Moses spake unto the children of Israel. See that right in the middle of the verse? According to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. Can I tell you, as we shall see here over and over, look at verse 6. The Lord our God spake unto us. You see that? Verse number 19. Right at the latter part of verse number 19 of chapter 1. As the Lord our God commanded us. Over and over again, God is navigating the people, or at least he's attempting to. But if you'll look in verse number 26, the latter part of that says, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. See, God was wanting to guide them and direct them and navigate them, just like he does our lives. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad for that. I'm so thankful. Listen, there's just times I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't even know how to pray sometimes. And I'm glad that God, if I will ask him, if I'll wait on the Lord and I'll trust him, God will show me and God will tell me what to do. He'll do that for you too. Aren't you glad God does that? He just navigates us through, brethren. God's not going to leave us to ourselves. He's not. God's not going to forsake us. So don't you let the enemy tell you that he will. He navigated the people in this day in the book of Deuteronomy from Egypt to Sinai, to Kadesh Barnea, and would have took them right on into the promised land. But as we shall see when we pick up here next week, they thought, well, you know what? We didn't have to help God get us out of Egypt, but we might ought to have to help God get us into Canaan. And it didn't work out well for them. And we don't want to be that. We want to let God do his work in our lives. Now, there's things that God holds us responsible and accountable for, but there's things that God says, I'm going to do, and let's just let God do it. Right? Amen. Let's stand. So as I look through the Deuteronomy, especially chapter 1, I see where Moses is looking back, and he's saying, you know, this is what was, and this is what could have been. But you rebelled. And I hope that doesn't happen in my life. I really don't want it to. It's apt to. I need God to help me that it wouldn't. And I pray that it wouldn't happen in your life. Be sensitive. Be obedient. Let God guide your life. If you will, he will. But if you refuse, God will let you go your way. And the story doesn't end well. Let's pray together.